Perkins Media proudly presents Moms Across America, a program where women can speak their minds openly and freely without fear of reprisal. Moms Across America is about the issues of the day confronting America from a mom's point of view. And now, here are the moms.
Hello, and welcome to Moms Across America. This is Vicki Tompkins with my co-host, Ann Ubelis, as well as our producer, Dan Perkins, who has become a regular, and I like it. Okay, so welcome. Thank you for being here. And remember, moms, you know, I'm going to say it every time. Get your free constitution at ashbook.org/constitution. Why should you get your constitution? Because if you don't know what your rights are, you don't know how to fight. And I'm telling you, I was just reading through some things here in my constitution that I always highlight. And, you know, because people say things about who should be doing this, or you can't do that, or this representative can't go over and all this kind of things. You always have to back it up with this Constitution.
Part one, the Constitution.
So today we're going to talk about maybe a few things, but maybe only a couple of things. We're still deciding, because one of the things that we want to talk about is really big. But we're going to start talking about Chicago. So President Trump has brought the National Guard into Washington, D.C. and cleaned up the place. And I think people are smiling more in D.C. because of it. But there's still people complaining. Why would you complain about crime being down? Why would you complain about your streets being cleaned up? Well, is it all politics? Who knows? But we're going to talk about Chicago because President Trump wants to do the same thing in Chicago that he has done in Washington. So I have a question for you too. Does the president have the right or the authority to bring in the National Guard? Is that under his job description?
Not only does he have the right to bring in the National Guard, but there is precedent where he's brought in active military to deal with issues of law and order in the country. And so those people who say he can't bring in the military are not being honest with you and the American people, because there is precedent that it's been done. I thought it was interesting. While Chicago is the murder capital, meaning the greatest number of people, forget about per 100,000, absolute dead bodies, Chicago is number one. But the number one most dangerous city in the United States at the moment of overall crime is Memphis, Tennessee. It's so bad in Memphis that Interpol ranks the 10 most dangerous cities in the world. Memphis is number nine. Wow. Memphis, Tennessee, in the United States of America, is the ninth deadliest city in the world. And so he's going there. And it was interesting because when he first, they had a Republican governor, but the mayor, Democrat. When Trump announced that he was thinking of coming, the governor was wholeheartedly in favor of it. And initially, was appreciative of any help that he could to make his city safe. But within 4 days, he turned. Nope, I don't want a guard here. Change his position.
That's
on bringing in the military to support the Memphis police.
That's very interesting. Very interesting. So what's your take on it, Annie?
Well, you know, as former law enforcement, I know the military cannot perform law enforcement duties, but right, they can provide security, and their right, mere presence on the street. And if you notice what they did in D.C., they picked up garbage bags when cleaning up litter. I mean, it's a Rudy Giuliani idea of broken windows. If you see a broken window, respond to it and make your investigation. If you see garbage on the street, it's only going to promote more garbage being thrown in the street. So clean it up. If people see clean sidewalks, well, maybe I want to walk down the sidewalk. So if I want to walk down the sidewalk, I want to be safe. If I see police there with the National Guard nearby, I'm going to feel very safe. which is why D.C. saw a drop in crime. As for this mayor in Memphis, I can't answer what is going on in his head. I'm sure Elvis Presley is rolling over in his grave, and I'm sure tourism dollars are dropping because no one is going to visit Graceland or much other any other attraction in Memphis. And whatever happens in Memphis is going to overflow to Nashville and any other areas in Tennessee. So I would like to see what the Tennessee governor has to say about this.
I thought it was interesting, the response of leadership, if you want to call it that, in Chicago about the National Guard coming in. And the reason I had said, is it the right of the president or is it part of his job to do that? I was reading how one governor, Pritzker, Democrat governor, said the president is doing, he's doing something unprecedented and unwarranted. Do you live in Chicago, dude? And it's illegal. It is unconstitutional and it's un-American. And I'm thinking, see, you remember I've said in the past how I believe that at least 90% of those who are in a leadership position throughout the country, but I think specifically in DC, have never even read the Constitution. This convinced me even more when I hear him say it's unconstitutional. Oh, it may be unprecedented, yes, because it hasn't been done, but it's not unconstitutional. I mean, it says right here that the president is the commander in chief of the military. So why would he say that?
Well, Dan, you were starting to say what the governor of Tennessee was saying.
Yeah, the governor of Tennessee is absolutely 100% behind the president. And the president doesn't have to go through the mayor to activate the National Guard.
Sure.
He goes to the governor of the state, who then defers to the adjutant general for the state to decide. And what Trump is doing, when he went into Washington, he had more than just the DC National Guard. He got National Guard troops from other places. I think there's a very important distinction here, and I just want to clarify an important comment that we had when we were looking at and listening to Vicky talk about what was going on. She talked about the guard, and I think Annie too. They're going through the town and picking up plastic bags of guard. That's true, but what else has been going on is that the president went after the graffiti on the
Well, unfortunately, we've got Dan breaking up a bit.
And he went into the flower beds and the landscaping of the city. The idea was that they're doing more things.
Yes, exactly.
Picking up garbage. They're walking the street. Go ahead.
Well, what under the ruling of the Posse Comitatus, which means that we cannot use federal troops to do actual law enforcement, but they can augment for safety and for any other items that are non-law enforcement, which is exactly what he's doing. If they need to back up ICE, they're there basically for security to make sure they can transport the prisoners back and forth, guard them, whatever. But they're not doing actual law enforcement activities. You know, if you were to declare martial law, which people are assuming he's doing, that means you take over all of the activities of that area, that state. He's not doing that. He's saying we're going to augment in specific areas, areas that are high crime, that need cleaning up, that need backup, and that's all he's doing. And he's within his constitutional rights to do exactly that. And Lori Lightfoot was saying that we were manipulating the numbers. I'm sorry.
I know. No,
the numbers are what they are. A dead body is a dead body. 1 + 1 = 2, and you compound that, and you've got yourself a crisis. And she refuses to acknowledge it because it's a political ploy that will put money in her coffers for her next election bid or the bid of whomever candidate she is supporting. And that is all it is, a political ploy.
You said something that I thought was really important, Annie. You said they're cleaning up the graffiti and they're cleaning up the streets of garbage. Think about this. When you surround yourself or you are surrounded by trash, you're not going to feel very comfortable, first of all, like you said, walking down the street. But just being around in cleanliness, when things are cleaned up, when your streets are cleaned up, when things look nice, you feel a little bit better. You know, walking down the streets of your city or your little town, you feel better and you think, okay, this is a nice place to live. How long have people had to deal with the trash and the mess in DC?
And
I
the
mean, I've been to
homelessness.
DC
Yeah,
and
and
it was
add in the homelessness. If you were able to get them up off the
yes.
street, because the homeless are the biggest victims of crime. If you can get them
Yes.
into safe housing and then turn around and through counseling and medication or whatever, get them into secure permanent housing,
Yep.
you have now made a productive member of society. If you can take
Exactly.
those with mental disorders into the proper care facilities so they can heal, or they can be taken care of properly, get them off the street. So
Yep.
not only are you helping to reduce crime, but you're also removing the very people that would be the victims of crime from the clutches of the criminals.
Yes. And so, you hear all these politicians in Chicago and, Memphis and the different places talking about how this is wrong for the president to even consider doing this. But I think it's time to go to the streets and talk to the people, because I can tell you that the people are probably very happy that this is happening,
That's right.
because a lot of these people are thinking about the fact that I've lived here all my life and I've never seen my home look like this, and to see it get cleaned up again. I think people are ready for that. They're ready for the garbage to be gone.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I think Annie's made a very important point. Getting rid of the homeless, getting them in their tents and their shanty towns off the streets where people have to walk. That's more nerve-wracking than trash is distracting and maybe feels a little bit uncomfortable. But you never know if you have to walk around a homeless person or an encampment where somebody might come out and assault you or attack you or get in your face, and you don't want to be there. And so what you do is you don't go. And
Right.
that homeless problem is a big problem, not only in Washington, D.C., but in Memphis and in Chicago, big time.
And here in Colorado. I mean, I don't even like going to Denver, because I the last time we went to Denver for an event, it was a luncheon that the party was having. And the place where we had to park was literally surrounded by tents. And I'm like, so I'm going to pay you $20 to park where homeless people are, not knowing if my vehicle is going to get broken into. And I'm thinking, this is not how it's supposed to be.
Right.
And it's probably three or four times worse in the larger cities. So I commend President Trump for what he's doing. I'm glad he's seeing that this is an important thing, and we'll see y'all in a few minutes.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins, the author of Sad Eyes Book Two. In Book One, we watch her grow up and develop into an intelligent, practical, and beautiful woman. She knows what she wants to be, and she will not let anything happen that will stop her from reaching her goal. Book two has many challenges she faces during World War II. People say it's hard to put down. You can get Sad Eyes Book Two at Amazon.com or JanCarrollPublishing.com and ask at Jan Carroll for a special deal if you buy both books.
Part two, abortion.
Welcome back to Moms Across America. As I had said earlier when we first started, we're going to have a segment about a subject that affects all of us, abortion. But we're going to go into a little bit more detail and talk about the, some people call it the morning after pill, some people call it, well, anyway, there's a, I read something about this that I did not know, and I figured, and I said this to the team, that I don't think most Americans know about this. So when Bill Clinton was president, when he came in, one of his goals, this is what he said. And this, it kind of, it both made me mad and made me chuckle at the same time at the sheer hypocrisy of it. He said he envisioned an America where abortion is safe and legal, but rare. And at the same time, that's end quote, at the same time, he wanted a pill to be developed for abortion. Now, guys, this was back in 1993 when he said this. And it wasn't long after that where he wanted to launch what will become a years-long crusade to force the abortion drug Mifepristone. I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly. And so this has been a I didn't realize that this had been around so long, that the pharmaceutical industry had been working on this for so long. And now it's just like a part of our lives, right?
Yep.
I said something to the team when we were, you know, before we came on today, and I said, it confirmed to me in reading all these articles that the whole purpose of abortion has nothing to do with women's health, first of all, but the whole purpose was population control.
Yeah.
We talked about China and we talked about Japan and we talked about how they limited people on how many children they could have and realized what a mistake that was not many years after they made that declaration and how they have reversed that. But here in America, we think we're so doggone smart. Let's just give a woman a couple of pills or she gets pregnant and let her go ahead and get rid of the problem. But we don't understand what we're doing in that our population is declining. And there's a golden rule that if a country is not producing it, the average of 2.5 children, which is insane to me, let's just go ahead and make it three, that nation will not survive. Where are we now in America?
We're down, I think, 1.95 at the last statistic.
And I'm telling you, if you think abortion does not affect you, that it's just the woman's choice, you might want to reconsider that. And this is something, and I don't know if I've told you guys this before. This is an area that I have been fighting since I was 15 years old. And that's a long time. I'll just say it that way. That's a long time.
And a few days.
And it has gotten worse.
All right. I wanted to jump in here because I just wanted to clarify something for the audience.
Okay.
Before the development and proliferation of these two pills, abortions were a medical procedure.
Right.
And we talked in terms of how many weeks, how many months you could go up to, and some people in some parts of the country have abortions up to the day of birth. Others have weeks, 26 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
The distinguishing situation is that people are suggesting that the pills distributed primarily by Planned Parenthood are the morning after pill. They're not, because those two tablets can be taken
more than 5 days.
Pardon me?
No more than 5 days. Optimal 2, maximum 5. 5 days right, after unprotected sex.
Right, but you could use these pills to create a medical abortion, a woman who's 4 months pregnant, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, depending, and it will terminate the pregnancy. And so it isn't just a short term, it's a fundamental shift in the way in which Planned Parenthood is doing business, and that is sending the woman comes in as a test that she's found pregnant, and they determine she's 14 weeks pregnant. They send her home with two pills. She takes one and then another one 24 hours later, and she has the discharge of the fetus at home, not under hospital care. And so that they've moved the procedure out of the hospital into the bedroom or to the home, and the woman is left alone to deal with the ramifications of what those two pills are going to do to her internally and the killing of the
And
baby.
psychologically, the fact that they were
Yeah.
carrying a child and now suddenly there is no child. And that is a huge psychological effect upon the woman. Not only that, these women that are doing the chemical abortions at home often are at longer term than is optimal. So they are having massive hemorrhaging.
Yes.
They are being rushed to the hospital because they're having complications. It's bad enough when you do the morning after pill, which is supposed to be, like I said, 5 days maximum after unprotected sex. And even then, there are some severe side effects, not only
Yep.
when you take the pill, but later on as you go forward in life with your menstrual cycles and everything, extremely heavy menstrual cycles, having cycles out of your normal times period. You may have bleeding in between menstrual cycles, dizziness, tenderness in the breast. There's a lot of other things that go on with it. And then you add in the psychological effect that this woman knows that she gave a life away. I'm sorry, my mom and I once did a prayer, a vigil for abortion on a public corner. And I made these t-shirts that said, "I thank God my mother chose life." And we have these individuals promoting abortion, knowing full well that their mother might have chosen to abort them and they would not be here alive today. Had their mother chosen that. That's a human life. That's a gift from God.
Yes, when I was pregnant with my daughter, there were complications, because they run all these tests and everything, because I was 30 something, and they ran these tests and said, "Oh, she might have this, she might have." I mean, they were going through a whole litany of things that, from having twins to, my daughter, my child is going to have all these problems. And so, of course, you go in and you sit down with the doctor, and the doctor says, "So this is what we're seeing, and this is what these are your options, to terminate the pregnancy." And my husband and I are sitting there, and I looked at my husband, and I looked at the doctor. I said, "That's not an option." Like I said, I've been fighting this since I was 15 years old, so I'm not going to go in and have an abortion. And so I did something that most people don't do. I reversed it on the doctor and said, "So what would you do in my situation?" I just wanted to see what he'd say. And he said, "Well, thank you so much for asking." He said, "Me and my wife were in the exact situation that you are in." And I said, "And what did you do?" We carried the child and he came out perfectly fine. I said, "So are we done here?" Basically. And my daughter came out, well, she was 2 pounds heavier than they said she was going to be, but she came out and she's fine. And her middle name is Joy, and she has brought a lot of joy to our family. So, the option was before me, and I knew what my decision was going in. And now my child, she knows the story of her life. And both my children, that was never an option in their minds. If something were to happen, that is never an option. So I think we need to teach people about what this is doing. What is
Yeah.
it? Because one of the things that bothers me about the abortion industry, and it is an industry, is it's all about the money. This is not about women's health, because if it was about women's health, the mental things that happen to a woman after an abortion is not addressed by these people.
No, not at all. Not at all. I want to add something too, because I've interviewed a couple of times young women that their mothers were victims of rape.
Yes.
And the mother, both times these women decided, no matter how painful this is an innocent child. And I may not be able to deal with raising them, but let them be adopted into a loving home. And in both instances, these young women were adopted, highly productive members of society. One became a great author, and both of them eventually sought their birth mother, and the birth mother was glad they made the decision and met the child. So when I hear in cases of incest and rape, I'm sorry, that's an innocent life in that womb who's not guilty of any crime. And by aborting that birth, you're committing a death sentence in my mind, in my mind.
Yes.
I don't know whether or not a society will ever see it that way, but in my faith, that's how I see it. And this is an innocent child, not guilty of any crime, outside the fact you chose to have unprotected sex or you chose to be with that individual. You may not have been chosen to have been a victim of a crime, but yet that child is not guilty of any crime and doesn't deserve to have its life terminated.
That's right. And that's the next argument that people have when you present to them the information about abortion, what it does, what it looks like, how it feels to the child, because it can be seen. When you reveal that to a lot of people, they're like, I didn't know. I had no idea. But those who don't want to hear that, the next argument is, well, what about those for rape and incest? Well, how often does that happen? 1% of all the abortions that are taking place is because of rape and incest. It's an excuse for people to live a certain way, and they don't want you telling them that it's wrong. I mean, let's just be honest.
We got just less a minute, and I do want to ask a follow-up question, and we can wait till the next segment to do that. But I'm also thinking in terms of I don't think that a lot of people understand the relationship to the pill development and Planned Parenthood. They funded it. They funded it, and they actually own the patents.
Yep.
To
I
the two
read that.
drop.
Interesting.
They own the patents. So
So
we're
don't
gonna
tell me it's not about money.
through. It's always about, to quote Annie, it's always about the Benjamins.
Yep.
We're gonna take a break here
Follow
and
the Bendrids.
we'll be back in a little bit with Annie and Vicky on the next segment. We'll be right back
Welcome back to Moms Across.
for this break.
All right.
A Trilogy Plus One by Dan Perkins, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile.
Dan, you owe me a good night's sleep, and I'm really aggravated about it. I read your books, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile, and I got to tell you, I no longer have to take any no-dos or anything like that when I want to stay awake. I just think about the plots of your books. They are absolutely frightening, devastating, in fact. But some of the best reads I've ever had. And I urge everyone to take a look at it. It's a plausible scenario and one that every American should be absolutely aware of.
Available at Amazon.com. Part three, abortion continued.
Across America, we're going to continue our talk about abortion and how this affects women, not just, we're going to get into a couple other things that ties in that Dan had brought up. Before we came back on. So Dan, we'll let you go ahead and start with your question.
Yeah, I have a question to both of you. I could be wrong here, but I can't think of a singular issue that has had more airtime and more newsprint than abortion in the United States.
Yes.
And Vicki, when you said that people are saying, well, I didn't know, how is it possible that this thing has been around for so long, over 60 years, that generations of women have continued to have abortions? How is it that we have a level of ignorance that people, women, say, I didn't know that, or I don't didn't know anything about abortion? And I know from my own personal nonprofit work that many women who go into the alternative pregnancy centers are willing to plead to the professionals that are trying to help them make a decision of whether to have an abortion or not, are finding that they're ignorant. And I don't understand how that's possible, that there are still tens of millions of women in this country who have no clue about abortion or even the pills. Can you help me with that?
I think a lot of it has to do with the media narrative. Because think about it. Girls, women are told, oh, it's just a clump of cells. That's been the, I mean, they still say that. And I'm like, seriously, y'all still believe that? They're actually told that it's not a child. Well, what is it? If it's not a child, what is it? I mean, it takes two human beings to make that, and it's a human, but they have been lied to. I think the American women have been lied to that it's just a clump of cells.
Well, oh, it's just your body, but it's not another separate individual developing within you. But one of the things that we do here is that before you go for an abortion, you must have an ultrasound.
Yep.
And something like 95% of the women that have that ultrasound choose to keep their babies because they realize that this is a separate human being. It's a life.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I love about the pregnancy centers, that I've been supporting them for decades now, because that is one of the things that they do. And once you hear that heartbeat and you see that baby, it does something to you. And what I find so incredibly hilarious, and I know that sounds crude, is how they say it's a fetus. Well, what do you think fetus means? Baby. So they try to they have this way of couching these words and using words to make people not feel bad. Because if you know that that's a baby, you're not gonna abort. And they know that. And that's why pregnancy, Planned Parenthood, they don't do ultrasounds.
No, they won't. They will not.
They will not.
They will not call it a preborn.
Nope.
Meaning that that's a human life. It's not yet been born, but it is a human being. Was it not in Timothy that he quotes Christ as saying, I knew you in the womb?
In the womb. And so I think it's that leftist parsing of words to make people, I think it's deception. I think a lot of it's just deception, because you need to be honest before, anytime you're presented with something where you have to make a decision, the best way to make a good decision is to know as many facts as possible. And I'm telling you, Planned Parenthood and these other abortion clinics, they are not giving these women the full information. When they talk about abortions, they say, oh, the child doesn't, well, they don't say the child, the fetus doesn't feel it. They don't feel any pain. It's
wrong.
You know, that's wrong. That's a lie. And so it's a lot of it, Dan, is just total purposeful deception. And women have been lied to about so many things over the years. And I don't know why so I have this machine right here. See my fancy case? There's more information that I can get on this phone that we could ever have gotten 40, 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Just type in a word and you can get an answer. So to allow... Women are allowing themselves to be deceived because there's no excuse.
No, all they need to do is just search the Kermit Gosnell movie.
Yes.
And if anyone wants to know the truth about abortion, what a butchery it is, and how they are now taking the parts of that aborted child and selling them. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to do that to a full human body unless it's something completely unclaimed, a cadaver that no one will claim in the next 50 years. But exactly. An innocent child that has just lost its life, it's okay to take their parts and sell it.
Or just dump them in open graves.
Oh, but do you know also now China is taking the fetuses and using the organs now to put into transplants to help regenerate an old person? So didn't Z just recently get accidentally videotaped talking to Putin about living to be 150 years and maybe becoming immortal to rule forever? Oh, we have we forgotten that from just about 2 weeks ago? This is a multi-billion dollar business. So we may be talking only about one portion of it, but it flows all the way down.
It does. And Annie, you had brought out another, this is a woman's issue in that this is destroying women. Okay. I'm not talking about just the aborted child. I'm talking about the woman that's getting that abortion, because most people don't understand the emotional issues, the mental health issues that happen to a woman after an abortion. I thank God that there's so many organizations out there who are now helping these women get through this. How many women we have talked to who say they still hear the cry of this child. They think about the child every single day. I hear that from women who have miscarriages as well, which is a total different thing, but they know there's a loss there and it's not being addressed. And you're trying to figure out why these women are, certain women are behaving the way they are. They've had 10 abortions and you're trying to figure out why they're so mentally screwed up. Well, and their physical bodies, the different diseases that it can cause. Because you think about when you become pregnant, everything in your body changes. Everything. Your hormones, I mean, just everything gets weird for a period of time, you know, and it starts affecting certain parts of your body. And it talks about, now they're saying that some breast cancers are associated with abortions. And it's like, we've got to get women educated so that they can make those wise decisions.
And so let me ask another question. And I'll try and make it a transition to the second part of the women's issue we wanted to talk about. right now, the current data is that Black women account for about 50% of all the abortions in this country.
Yep.
And it's been fairly constant, as has been the population of Black people been relatively constant for a long period of time. The abortions are taking away the ability to reproduce Black people that die. But this issue affects Black women more than any other issue, any other race. But on the other women's issue, and that is this whole transgender movement, it seems to me that I rarely ever see a picture of a Black boy trying to transition into being a Black woman. Do you have a sense of why that is? And as long as Black women are the money machine for abortions, there's less opportunity for Black women in the transgender issue because they have other issues. Am I off base?
No, I don't think you are. I don't think you are. If you look up at the statistics, and I do look up numbers to just see what's happening, the Black race in America is the only race that is not growing. We always stay around 13% of the population in America.
Right.
We have to ask why. Well, abortion is a big part of that.
Why are all the clinics in Black neighborhoods? You won't find them in white neighborhoods.
No.
But you'll always find them in minority, especially Black neighborhoods.
Yes. And when you have more babies aborted than are birthed, How do you expect that population to grow? And this whole, Black people are been, well, no, you're killing your own babies. So don't even go there with me. I'm sorry. I don't tolerate that. And when you have a population that's never growing, they're never growing. So, you know, you hear all these people now talking about bringing in DEI and all this kind of stuff. Why? Just have more babies. You'll be all right. Just have more babies. I wish I could have had more children. But my son and daughter are helping us out. They're helping us out. My son has four, my daughter has two. So, hey, we have contributed to society and they're wonderful. But the whole transgender thing, I just don't think Black America is ready for it.
No, but you notice they go for the young white males who have been hit over the head for the last decade about white privilege.
Yep.
And they have been told that you have been, because you're born a white male, you're the cause of the problem. I'm sorry, I've said this many times before. I did not choose to come and be born in this body with this skin. God chose me to do that. And what I do with this body and mind, it shows what I believe in my faith and I can do to help my fellow man. But they've hit these young kids since a young age. And how dare you? You're born white, especially you're born a boy. Oh, that means you put not only just the Black people and other minorities down, but you put women down too. So you're not worth anything. They're growing up thinking they're not worth anything, looking for attention. And what better attention to get when you have a whole big group of people through the LGBTQ XYZ society that's saying, oh, you can be one of us and be accepted and feel like you're worthy of something if you become a trans. And how many of us now have members in our own family that have gone through that because that is the way they were raised. That was the way they were taught.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how they look for their acceptance. And now, as they grow older into midlife, they're realizing there's sex change regret, which comes about with high levels of alcoholism, drug abuse, suicide, cancers, osteoporosis, bone density, broken bones.
Yep. All of that.
But so they don't tell them that beforehand.
We're out of time on this segment. We're going to come back with the wrap with Annie and Vicky. We'll be right back after these messages. That sound of the emergency squad happens 34 times per hour, 24/7 in the United States, carrying someone who is dying from a drug overdose to the ER. 70% of these runs are people who are dying from the vicious drug called fentanyl. Over the last 10 years, 1 million Americans have died from fentanyl. In 2019, 112,000 children ages 12 and 13 were on opioids. The fentanyl overdose rates are rising 2.5 times faster than that of heroin. Now there is an FDA-approved test for the presence of fentanyl in the system. The test is safe, simple, and 99.5% accurate. In just 5 minutes, you can find out if your child, loved one, or employee is using fentanyl. If you want to save someone's life, go to thefentanyltest.com and learn more about this dangerous drug and how you can get your 5-minute test and keep your child out of that squad.
Part 4, The Wrap.
Welcome back to Moms Across America, and we're in our last segment with The Wrap-Up. Whew, it's hard to get through all those subjects, I'm telling you. So, Chicago... President Trump is thinking about bringing in the National Guard. I say, yay. I say, do it, do it, do it. And every other city and state that is having issues and just cannot seem to get the leadership to get on board. Yes, I'm all for it. What you have to say about that, Dan?
Well, I think that one of the things that we have already learned about what Trump is doing in Washington, D.C., is that when, before he took over, a criminal could be arrested, taken to the station house, booked, and then released with no cash bail. And so that what we had is a relatively small number of people who committed reoccurring crimes. And so that, like the gentleman who stabbed the woman on the train in North Carolina, he had 14 arrests, and he was out on no cash bail when he killed this woman. The point is that if you take the people off the street and you keep them off the street. They've arrested, last thing I heard was about 2,500 people, illegal aliens and criminals and everything else, and people who have warrants outstanding, 2,500 people that are off the street. That's 2,500 people who cannot commit reoccurring crimes and go get arrested and then released on their own recognizance. So I think that one of the things why it's working is the presence of the Army or the National Guard and the commitment. And there's more than just the National Guard there. You've got FBI people, you've got ATF people there, you've got lots of different government agencies who are involved, Homeland Security, in protecting the citizens of Washington, D.C. And so I think what's happening is if you've broken the chain of repetitive crimes, if you take the person, take them off the street, put them in jail, and don't release him until he's had a trial, and then he may be convicted, they can't hurt anybody else. And I think that's part of the reason for the great success is that people are seeing, bad guys are seeing, wait a minute, getting out on cashless bail isn't going to work anymore. So if I get arrested, I may have to do the time. And so that's right. That's another element that has impact. And that's what's going on in Chicago. You still have the gangs who are smashing grabs in Chicago in the department stores and places. Crime's still going on. People are still being killed. But I suspect that the Washington, D.C. is a trademark for many of the top 20 cities that have the highest crime rates because they have a number of people who are the criminals who are constantly doing the crimes, affecting adversely the citizens of the community.
Right. Well, I think if I remember correctly, I think it was about maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, Trump issued an executive order stating that he wanted to see the cities and the states to start looking at removing the homeless from the streets and right. placing them into, you know, housing temporary until they can go into permanent housing. But those that will have mental illnesses and stuff into the proper facilities to help them rehab, whether or not it's through drug addiction, alcohol abuse, or simple mental illness, to get them into the proper facilities. Now, if I remember growing up in the 60s and 70s, there were mental institutions throughout the United States. And mm-hmm. I remember looking at the back window of my house when I was a little girl and seeing Pilgrim State, which was a huge mental facility on Long Island, New York. And somewhere in the Jimmy Carter administration, they were closed.
Right.
And that is where we saw the start and the rise of homelessness on the street. As they closed these facilities, they had no place to go. Trump is reversing that. So now if we add this with what he is doing now with putting the National Guard on the streets to help transition them into these facilities, as well as help cleaning up the streets, this is a two-prong approach that we're seeing him do, which I think is very brilliant.
I have a little bit of a disagreement on that issue with Mr. Trump. I agree with them that we need to take the homeless off the street. And I agree with them that especially those that are mentally ill need care. But you are right, Annie. We closed all those facilities. We don't have facilities right now to take tens of thousands of people or more who are living on the streets and put them someplace. And I'm not sure we even got space because of why? Because the illegals that have come into the country have taken up the excess inventory of places to go. So
that's where the removing of the illegals now opens up those spaces. So if not a two-prong, then we're looking at a three-prong approach. By removing mm-hmm. the illegals, we open up those facilities and temporarily house them until they can be transitioned into new facilities that we should be building at this moment.
Right.
I'm looking around our county. And I'm telling you, we have a ton of empty buildings here that can easily be transformed into apartments. Why are we not thinking that? Why are we not doing that? Why are we? It makes me think there's no heart to really see change. And that's disturbing.
Excellent point.
Yeah. So these are the times in my life where I wish I was wealthy because that's something that I would do, is to be able to make space for that. I look at churches who are doing an excellent job in with some facilities. It's not enough. And so my biggest concern about America is people's hearts. It's like people have no, it's like there's no compassion. And with that, I want to say this. I know we have moms that may hear our show and think I'm so hard when it comes to abortion. Well, first of all, it's because I care, but I'm not ignorant to think that there's no woman listening that has never had an abortion. And I want you to know, I don't condemn you. We don't condemn you, but if you need help, go and get the help. There's a lot of churches who have ministries to women who have had abortions, and help, let them help you get through this. I think sometimes we forget that there's women out there still hurting and they need help.
So, and they need forgiveness too.
Yes. And God will forgive you. I mean, I'm not the one that knows you to say, I forgive you, but if that's what you need, I forgive you. But if you know that you are struggling, go look up in your city. I promise you there's someone there that can help you. Whether it's a church, go to one of the crisis pregnancy centers. They have people there that can help women who have gone through an abortion and need counseling. And it's free.
Yes,
you don't have to come out of your pocket. Your insurance doesn't cover that kind of stuff. Most of them don't. But it's free and they can help you get through this. So please take advantage of that. I mean, I don't know how, if they can contact us and we can help do the research, Dan, whatever, whatever we can do to help any woman that may reach out to us with that from wherever they may live. So I just wanted to say that, because that just came up in my heart, for you to know that we care about you, we love you, and we want you to get the help that you need, because, you know, it's a part in your life. We all go through something, and sometimes you just need to talk to somebody. So if that's the case for you, mom, dad, whoever's watching, go do that.
Well, while I'm producing this show, I will look and see if there's a national referral service or something on the pregnancy crisis centers, and I'll put an email address
There is a website. It's called the crisis pregnancy center map, and they can pull up a map up on there, type in where they are at that moment, and that map will direct them into whatever location is in their neighborhood. It's called the website is exactly this, crisispregnancycentermap.com.
Okay. That's beautiful. Thank you, Annie. Thank you.
I'll put it on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, I'm concerned about the heart of America. I'm concerned about individuals, and I'm concerned about the lies that have been perpetrated on women in particular. I mean, because think about it, when you have something traumatic that happens in your life, I mean, say you're 18 years old, you see you're pregnant and you're like, what am I going to do? My parents are going to kick me out of the house. What am I going to do? I don't have a job. I haven't even graduated high school yet. I get that. I can understand that type of panic. And that's why I want to put that up there. Thank you, Annie, for finding that, because I think that can help these people who are in those crisis situations, at least somebody to go talk to.
There's a lot of them. And one of the ones that we work with, and I know is also nationwide, is also the RadianceWomensCenter.com. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. And we have several crisis pregnancy centers here that, man, they're phenomenal what they do. That's why I support them, because what they do from the time that woman comes into that facility all the way through that child being 2 years old, they are assisting. They're helping.
A lot of them will help them find jobs and homes too.
Yes. They help them with clothes. They help them with diapers. They help anything that you can think of that's necessary for a child and now they even have it for the fathers.
Yes.
You know, to help the men become the parent.
If if they need counseling, not just for what they're going through, but to help them learn how to raise that child.
Yes.
It's, they give them from A to Z, whatever they need. And it's free, ladies. There's nothing back. Just pay it down the line, ladies. You know someone else in trouble, direct them to that location too.
And I encourage, you know, moms, if you believe like I do, like Annie and Dan and I believe that this is an important thing, and you have the finances that you can support a pregnancy center in your area. That's what I do. My daughter does it. It's so important to our family to support these organizations because they truly, truly love on these people. It is amazing. I've gone through the courses that they teach there because I wouldn't know. You know, you want to know where your money's going, right? And so I went through the courses. It is amazing what they are teaching these women on how to be a mom, how to be a dad, what you need. They have other resources where they can go and get additional assistance. Like you said, Annie, they help with housing and so many other things.
Jobs.
Jobs, getting you in front of people where you can interview. It's just phenomenal what they do with the monies that they do bring in. And so I just felt like we needed to encourage women out there who are in situations that they
they're not a number. They are a person.
They are a person. And that's what I love about those centers. You are a person. And so thank y'all for being here today. We're about out of time, and we hope we'll see you next time. And remember, moms across America, you are America, and we'll see you soon.
God bless.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Thanks for listening to the show today. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to send a comment, please do so by sending it to dan@danperkinsmedia.org. And thanks for listening to the show today.